see. I'm trying to think if I have any announcements tonight, and I don't think I really do, other than just to remind folks this is class 4 of 5, and so we meet one more time for death and rebirth, and then we have Labor Day Monday off, and then we'll pick back up with karma, one of my favorites. And don't forget to check the calendar at the Kadampa Center website, kadampa-center.org, because there is so much happening, and there are some opportunities to be in person at the site as well now. So if that's something you feel comfortable with, definitely check those out as well. Venerable Rabina wraps up this Wednesday from 7 to 9, so if you haven't tuned in for Venerable Rabina yet, please join us on Wednesday. And I feel like there was one more thing I was going to say. Oh, I remember. A couple weeks ago, when I had mentioned that there's the new class called Experience, it's EB, Experiencing Buddhism. Steve, do you remember?
I was going to announce that, too.
Is it Experiencing? It starts with an E, whatever it is. Anyway, folks were asking, is that something that you can take concurrently with Discovering Buddhism? I did follow up on that, and the answer is, well, yeah, if you want to, but they do recommend that you go through DB first. But, you know, if you're like me and you've done DB maybe 2 or 3, 4 times, maybe doing it concurrently would be okay. They just don't want folks to get confused and, get things all jumbled up. So that's the answer. Yes, you can, but it's recommended to go through DB first. Anything else, Steve?
And I think it's more like it's more intensive than DB. It's more, way more, this is kind of an introduction. This is what's turned into DB. It's kind of more of like introductory and practice. And then Venerable Tendrin is going to be, leading that. And she studied for years at, what was it? I can't remember the name of the place, but it was in the monastery in Australia. So, I mean, she's really, really sharp and really knows her stuff, but it will require more reading. And I really encourage those of you who feel for that. I think that's all the announcements. Well, this Saturday or Sunday, Geshe Sampo is doing the thing around the stupa.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Circumambulating around the stupa and around the entire center. So check that out on the website as well.
Okay. So we're going to, I always hate when all of a sudden I go really large. Let me change my thing to gallery. Okay, good.
Sorry, Steve. I'll try to warn you next time.
Yeah. All right. So at some point we're going to get into groups today. So then you'll probably want to get your cameras going just so people can see who you are. You can meet new people. but let's start with Linda. Would you do the Four Immeasurables?
Sure.
Time? And so, everybody, this is take a minute to set your intention for why you're coming here today, and thinking about this topic for you personally. What does this mean? What are you hoping to get? And then knowing that as you accomplish your own personal goal, think of all, just really practically, how the people around you will be affected positively by that. That's one way to start with an intention setting that's actually really very practical. We do it all the time, but we probably don't take that step then to think about, wow, if I accomplish this, this will actually help other people. So it's, twofer. And, now you try to expand it even greater. So that's what the Four Immeasurables is about.
Okay. So I'll read these. You can read along, but I will ask you to stay muted just because everything starts to get all jumbled up. So, and I'll pause in between sentences. May all sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies.
Thank you. So let's do a short meditation just to shake off Monday or everything we're bringing with us from where we came from. And so get into a position where your back is as straight as possible. And by now you probably know all the points of posture to check, so I'll let you do them. Just if you're sitting in a chair or wherever, just make sure your feet are flat on the floor. If you're sitting cross-legged, again, make sure you're comfortable enough and your back is as aligned as possible. And then just put all of your awareness on your breath and try with each exhale to just release any thoughts or worry or racing thoughts, any thoughts, fatigue, anxiety, preoccupation. Just try to let those drop off of you so you can begin to notice the ocean-like quality of your mind. Using a count. Count each inhale, exhale as one, counting up to 5 or 10 as something to bring the mind back to. And as you can, if you can, then notice as thoughts begin to arise, you can start to feel them, almost like our breathing. Start to feel when they arise, and then just label it, there's thoughts, and see if they will then subside back into the ocean. And then hopefully we'll have a pause between waves. You'll be able to rest in that ocean-like nature of your mind. So I'll let you do that for about 5 minutes. Slowly open your eyes. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you.
Okay. I can't hear you all because you're muted. All right. So I want to pick up on a couple of things we were talking about last week and go from there. So let's get this chat going. What I want to use the chat for is, and then we can also talk, but it just to be an easy way for everybody to weigh in and survey as you see, as you choose. If you have in mind, like, what a good death is, you know, what a good death for yourself would be, what, if anything, would help you get there? Or what are some of the obstacles? So, like, I told you my story that I knew that I couldn't guarantee that I wouldn't have a violent death, but I wanted to better understand how to understand what would happen in the dying process, and so not fear it as much. And so doing the death dissolution helps me in that way. So what are, and we talked a little bit last week about some other things that that interfere even when we're doing the death dissolution meditation. So everybody's got something, because we don't have any memories of going through this before. So what are some things, just off the top, you know, even the stream of consciousness, flagging things that are kind of obstacles between where we are right now and what we'd like to have? That makes sense?
And I did want to mention to folks who are live streaming on YouTube that you can participate in this activity by typing into the chat on YouTube. That is being monitored as well.
Yeah, these are good. I think maybe speaking for everybody, but, you know, we don't know. I remember one night, this is a while ago, thinking, oh, what if I'm like in the middle of something, you know, like something really important? Usually that is what happens. You know, how am I going to, you know, all these people I might have to say goodbye to? And then it hit me on this visceral level, like, oh, because I believe in reincarnation, it was like, oh, I've done that thousands and thousands of times. So, oh, that just, I don't know, something about that really helped me. So I haven't done everything I want to do. I don't want to say goodbye to these people right now, you know, and something about, like, knowing that that's nothing new is kind of good and bad. So what I want you to do is, particularly for the one that strikes you the strongest, I mean, last week we were talking about saying goodbye, you know, and I actually have an answer to the question that arose through the death dissolution meditation that we were doing about, you know, not remembering people's names and our relationships to them. And I talked with Geshe a little bit about that. And one of the things he was saying is that connection isn't lost. So the death dissolution process is a temporary process where the aggregates that have come together dissolve. And in Buddhism, then our consciousness, we believe, moves on to the Bardo state. But I can't remember exactly how he said it, but that those relationships, well, first of all, they're not random. And so even though you may not realize the conditions that brought those into play in this life, they're still there. And just your dying is not going to cut that tie. You know, that's not how, this is why I wish the karma class came before this class, because it's really hard to talk about all of these things that rely on karma. So that those connections and that relationship are not ever felt to be just in that finite space and time. When you're falling asleep, you also go through some states where you forget all these things too, and you're not able to control your body. You know, your body becomes paralyzed. And so, but we're not as afraid of that because we wake up the next morning, 9 times out of 10, and, you know, everything's back to, you know, what we remember. But so we have that moment where we don't remember any of that. We're just not aware of, we're not remembering that we had that. We're not remembering that we forgot. So not to be so freaked out by that. But I want you to think about what particular obstacle is primary for you, because each of them have something that you can apply as an antidote to that, to the fears, a lot of the meditations we've been doing are antidotes to every single thing that you've listed. So in the groups, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So we're going to do this little exercise right now, this little meditation right now that I really like, and I think it fits for this class, and especially because we're going to be talking about continuity of consciousness in a little bit. So think about some building or some place that you are really pretty familiar with. If you've done this with me before, then pick something different. I can never do this enough because I always see something new. But pick a place that you are very familiar with, you know, at least for the last handful of years. And get into a comfortable position. You're going to be meditating on this place. Again, it could be a home, a building, an office, part of a city, part of a park, where something that has special meaning to you. And again, check your posture and get into a comfortable position. And three nice, relaxed breaths. And then bring into your mind's eye this place and take a look at it right now, what it looks like right now. It's a building, walk inside, take a look around. What does it smell like? Go and touch the wall. What does it feel like? Take a good little walk. And then I want you to go back a year in time. So last summer, what did this place look like then? Who was in it? What did it smell like? Look like? What were the differences a year ago? now go back about 5 years. So 2015, 16. And what were some of the changes then? What were the differences? What people were there? Did it look different? Did it feel different? Now go back 20 years. Do the same thing. Take a walk around. Even if it's just what you imagine it was like 20 years ago. Go ahead and look inside and see who is there. Who is not there? Now go back 50 years. What was there? Who was there? How did it feel? What did it smell like? And now go back in time 100 years. Keep going back in time as far as you want. Different periods of history. As far back as you want to. Come back to the present. Go back in this space and go forward a year. What do you think the changes will be in a year? Who will be there? What will be different? What will be the same? Take a look around. Go forward 10 years, 2031. What do you imagine will be different? Go forward as far as you want. It's up to you what it will look like. This is your vision now. Come back to the present moment and slowly open your eyes. And I'm going to ask Linda to put you all into Zoom rooms of like, let's see, like three people each. And what I want you to do when you get to the Zoom room is, if you can, turn on your cameras so people can see you, and introduce yourselves. Talk a little bit about that exercise, and also anything that you think would help with some of the things that we wrote in chat for you personally. Okay? So we're going to be in these groups about 10, 15 minutes. We'll send a note when we're about halfway through. And any questions before she does that? And YouTube people, we might try to chat here, but you can't participate. But you can do this on your own. You know, write down, kind of journal a little bit about how do you think that exercise might help you, what happened during that exercise that you want to remember. Sometimes things happen and then forget them instantly when we come back. So if you're in the YouTube room, kind of write down what you want to remember from that exercise, how it might help you, and then any other things that might help with some of the obstacles that we listed in chat.
And Steve, should you and I be assigned a room or no?
No. I mean, you can.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and assign rooms. If you haven't done this before, you'll get a little pop-up message that says, join room, and you join the room.
In the same room, we can make a lot of noise. Room 1, 3, 4, 1.
So, Steve, it assigned you a room, I guess because I'm the host and you're the co-host.
Right. Right. It assigned me, but I just said, no, I'm not joining.
Okay. And it didn't assign me, so.
Yeah. I think I missed a couple more of these chats.
Maybe for the folks on YouTube, we can read out these chats that folks earlier.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the prompt was, what are some of the obstacles that you feel like you have?
Right.
Like, to death, is that what it was, Pete?
What gets in the way of you having the kind of death that you want? You can imagine having a good death. Your own obstacles, you know, fears, sadness, and outside obstacles as well.
Okay. And so those comments are, I feel like I still have lots of time to prepare, like for death. But the reality is we don't know when death will come, so my obstacle is procrastination on being prepared. The next one is fear of the unknown. Next is fear of it being long, drawn out, and painful, or the opposite, unpredicted and fast. Next is fear of having unresolved personal issues with others. And next is breaking free of the fear cycle that keeps me from living fully and experiencing joy. And next, I would like to die in my bed peacefully reciting a mantra and in complete meditative state. Next, we think we never are going to die. Our minds trick us. And feeling like there are a lot of things to do or accomplish before then. The older I get, the more I realize I will be gone, but I can't waste energy on, on how or when. Just live and love healthy until I do. And fear to leave my family unprepared upon my death. And then lastly, meditation on death is part of my daily practice. I'm coming to terms with probably having to die with loved ones around me crying, and I wish fervently to die instead in peace with joy, surrounded by positive energy. No control over that, unfortunately.
Right. So if you're, how many people are on YouTube?
Five.
Okay. So you can think to yourself about what are some things that if you share these or others that you have, what antidotes can you use to help with those? For example, fear of leaving my family unprepared on my death. You know, what are the ways to prepare them?
And someone on YouTube just shared regret for things that I've left undone.
Right.
And mine was the procrastination one. So
I just
procrastinating.
Yeah, so there's lots of things. That's when the fear, the meditation, some kind of fear and waking yourself up, that's when to apply that one. Somebody has too much fear, has a whole different thing to apply. So we're the ones who know when to apply what. Nobody else can tell us that. So it's like fear of being a long, drawn out and painful death. You know, there's lots of ways that we can just practice with our own small illnesses or watching other people. Sometimes we can be motivated by seeing how other people have handled, you know, incredible suffering. And it seems like it's always the anticipation of this or that that gets in our way. When we're actually in something, it's not as bad as the anticipation of it. But having as many tools as possible ready for us, because, you know, it's our mind, we're treating our mind. And so as many tools as we can have for all the different things that arise now and beforehand is the whole point of practice. So for me, fear of the unknown, that's why I like the death dissolution practice. But, you know, there's no, you know, and also just reminding myself of different, of why I'm practicing. Using things to inspire me. So it's kind of scary to know, well, you know, we can watch everything in this life and see somebody who did something before. You know, like I can see people ahead of me. When I was a little kid, I could see people ahead of me. But we don't really get that much of a glimpse of what's coming next, you know. And so that's why it's helpful for me to read different Buddhist texts on the Bardo states and on what to do, and listen to those teachings a lot to just keep implanting that in my brain, saturate myself with it so that it kind of, it, I can use that as an antidote to the fear. All right. Maybe let people know they should, I don't know, how long have we been?
Maybe about, I don't feel like it's been very long. 5 minutes, maybe.
All right. I'm gonna run to the restroom, and then we can email them and say, or send them a little note, and we have to. Okay, yeah, if you could send them a note saying it should be about halfway done.
Okay. Are you getting these messages?
Yes.
Okay. I just accidentally did. I'm good.
Did somebody ask you what they're talking about?
No, it is just a reminder. I know whenever I go to a breakout room, I'm always like, what were we supposed to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, especially after you start chatting with each other.
Yeah, thanks for sending me that link. You know, I didn't get a chance to look at it yet, but that section of the FTMT website, it's so hard to get to.
Yeah, that I searched in that link. I guess Aaron Sloan had put those links together at one point. So I haven't pulled them up in probably several years.
Because the teachers have access to different material than the students, and I always find it helpful to. I was looking for something in particular because I want to talk a little bit about reincarnation because people have been asking me some questions. So I wanted to access that, but oh my God, just to find the affiliates section on the website is hard. And then I could get in there, but I couldn't find, I could find everything in other languages, but not in English.
So. Oh no, oh no.
So I gave up after a while. I'm too tired or something.
And are you teaching next week or is that the week you have a sub?
Donna forgot. Two things happened. Donna forgot and then the thing I was going to got canceled.
Oh, okay. Well, that worked out then.
Yeah. If she had somebody else, I was going to like, okay, I'll let somebody else take over. But yeah, COVID canceled my plans.
Yeah, it's happened a lot.
2 years in a row.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will be here.
Okay.
I think next week we'll do the death dissolution meditation again. Tonight we're not going to. I have a clip of a video I'm going to try to show.
Okay.
Let me see if I still have it.
There's a choice when you share a video that you can optimize the share. When you click share screen, down at the bottom it says share sound, optimize for video clip, and you can click on optimize for video clip, and it should make it better.
Okay, I see advanced sharing options. Is that what you're talking about?
Actually, it's under basic.
Well,
at least on my screen. And it's on the advanced as well.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Okay.
Do I hit share sound too?
I guess you should.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, tell everybody, let's see. Yeah, bring everybody back.
Okay. I thought there was a way to, like, give them a 1 minute warning.
Well, I think it gives them 1 minute.
Okay, automatically.
Yeah. Well, I got to plug in my computer because it's running out of juice. Well, I guess I better move it. Welcome back, everybody. Don't get dizzy.
Looks like we're waiting on a few more, Steve.
Yeah.
We didn't want to come back. We had too much fun.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That always happens, doesn't it?
Not always.
All right.
Well, I'm glad it was fun.
I think we have everyone back now.
Okay. All right, how did that go? Anybody want to report anything?
Feel free to either just raise your hand or unmute and share.
Especially if you found something that is helpful. Or you could write it in chat.
Trying to get control of my computer here.
There we go.
I had a wonderful conversation.
Good.
And with Giovanna, I don't see her name up there, but and we went in directions I didn't know. She had some interesting things on how she observes it. But for me, this whole teaching is accepting the inevitability and trying to get the acceptance of that inevitability with my wife and my kids, so the suffering isn't as bad. But I can't pull out of this spiritual thing that's been in me of heaven, forgetting about the church, but that whole spiritual side, and understanding reincarnation and whether the thoughts presented are just people's opinions, because we can't know. So I've kind of let not knowing not bother me anymore. And it will be where it will be, and I won't be able to tell anyone left behind what it is.
Well, hard to say. Maybe you'll be one of those kids who comes in remembering this conversation. But all kidding aside, I wanted to talk a little bit about reincarnation, but I'll hold on to that for a second. Anything else anybody wants to share from the conversation? But I take your point of preparing people now. What do you want? How do you want it to be so that they understand why and how and what your hope is, how they can support you. I remember when I was doing a lot of reading about death when I was in my 20s, there's actually a really good book written by Stephen Levine called Who Dies? He's written several books, and I really recommend them. I can't remember why I was bringing that up. Because he said, these people are losing you, but you're losing the whole world of what you know. So I think your wishes should dominate, in my personal opinion. And, but preparing people for what it is that you're hoping to experience and what they can do to support you only makes sense. But what else? Anything else that, especially we listed all these antidotes. I feel like every one of them, we can find things in there, as I was, Linda and I were talking about during the break, that you can kind of saturate yourself with now so that you can apply them. And there's so much that we can't control about how we're going to die, but we can fill ourselves with all kinds of different tools to use, different ways of approaching if we have a long death. What are the different ways of approaching an understanding of that kind of suffering so that we can minimize suffering that we're feeling? We know the effects that the mind has on suffering, how it can make it worse or easier. Right? We know that. We know that even scientifically. So what can we do now to help us? What can we practice with now to help us with our different kinds of pain? Because certainly the suffering of old age and illness, would be really ridiculous to ignore that. So there's things that we can do with almost every one of these. And it's helpful. The one I had, a fear of the unknown. So this is why I like to the death dissolution meditation. This is why I like to read different stories that inspire me towards how I want to proceed. So that when the fear, because I'm not just going to make these things go away, these obstacles or these feelings or these fears, but I can offset them. Like, okay, now this is a time to apply this one. If Linda's biggest obstacle is that she's procrastinating, she might want to do more meditations on stuff that kind of wakes her up, right? Kind of splashes cold water on her face. Somebody who has a lot of fear doesn't want to use that one. That would be the wrong tool to use, right? You might want to meditate more on the continuity of like, just like the meditation we were doing, how things change and evolve and move. You might want to meditate on that and help you understand that things that, of the continuity of your connections, of your relationships, especially once we move into the module on karma. That might give you more comfort in knowing that there is no complete, in Buddhism, there is no complete separation. There's a continuity of consciousness and of relationships and of experience. So that might help you if you have a lot of anxiety about leaving people. So you're the only one who knows which tool to use at which time. There's no one prescribed thing. And so you don't have to believe in any of these things. You don't have to believe in reincarnation to get a lot of out, obviously, because you're continuing to study. So, but I want to talk a little bit about what some of the logic is behind it, because 100% it should not be just based on what other people are saying. But I was listening to a couple of people talk about this on different teachings, and if you take everything, just kind of level the ground and start from a even playing field, you could also ask very equally, can you prove that nothing happens? I mean, where's the proof that nothing happens after death, that you just disappear? Where's that evidence? It's not the same as like, it's really, where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence? In fact, I think we'd find less evidence of nothingness than we would find of continuity. And also the reason that, and I'm going to read a couple of things and we're going to watch a short clip of somebody else talking about it, because I feel incredibly articulate tonight for some reason, maybe because it's Monday. But one of the kind of the, in Buddhism, it's called the grounds and paths. And the ground is kind of like the foundation upon which the path, obviously. And one of the main grounds for reincarnation and for some of the talk we're having is what Buddhists call the Buddha nature. So if all living creatures have Buddha nature, have this potential, then there's a pathway towards getting there. That's a key piece of Buddhism that I'll just kind of start with that. And I want to read a couple of things to you and then see if you have any comments about this. But I thought this is just like a really little sampler of some information that you can get a lot more elsewhere. But let me just read something. I guess my main point is that there are logical arguments that Buddhists have for reincarnation, because they would take nothing on just blind faith or face value, that for them you have to really deeply explore, and part of that exploration is about karma, and it's about emptiness. It's a really hard thing to explain in an hour. But those karma and emptiness are really critical to the understanding of reincarnation. And the other thing that we're talking so much about the relative self. So when we say, for example, well, I can't remember any future lives, we're talking about this relative self. And Buddhism is big exploration of what is the self. Is it just what you're experiencing right now? Is this the self? It's kind of how we think about it. So yes, this self is not going to continue. This self had a conception and has an expiration, for sure. But there's a subtle consciousness that Buddhism talks about a lot, and it's felt that that consciousness continues. So this is our life support. Remember the aggregates that come together. We absolutely need a physical brain in order to have the mind. In Buddhism, it's felt that mind is very different. Not very different. The mind relies upon the brain. You know, that's the physical, that's the gross organ that's used in order to have mind. But it's not the end all and be all. So when you fall asleep at night, you don't remember every single thing that happened at night. And yet you wake up and you're back to your kind of relative self with the gross consciousness, and you don't really question you know, that break. You don't worry about that. Here's a new incarnation. It's a whole other day. And you're not doubting what happened to that because it's so familiar to you. You go to sleep every night and wake up every morning. But there are moments that you don't remember. And there are moments in your childhood that you don't remember. And so there's just all these different levels of consciousness that Buddhism goes into great detail outlining and studying and researching and trying to master, because the subtlest level of consciousness is something we are very rarely aware of. And yet that is when all those other things are dissolving in the death dissolution state. That's what then becomes clear. And that subtle consciousness is what goes forward. And so the whole point of trying to be able to die the death that we want to die is to propel that subtle consciousness forward into the most positive direction possible. So we want to have the most positive thoughts beforehand. You know, these are the things that we would like to be able to put in play. And so practicing now, it makes that more likely. So I was going to read something, and then I just got off on the tear. All right. There are many different logical arguments. This is His Holiness writing this. There are many different logical arguments given in the words of the Buddha and subsequent commentaries to prove the existence of past and future lives. In brief, they come down to 4 points. This is really brief, and it's kind of, pithy, but it'll give you an idea of the language and for your future studies. The logic that things are preceded by things of a similar type. I think that means that, you know, a cow doesn't produce a tree. So things are preceded by things of a similar type. Same thing with our mind. You know, you don't usually just have, a wonderful thought out of nothing. Something precedes it. The logic that things are preceded by a substantial cause, so that may be the one I'm really describing, that things are preceded by a cause. The logic that the mind has gained familiarity with things in the past, and the logic of having gained experience of things in the past. I think the way that, like, Venerable Rabina talks about this is like, you know, if you practice the piano, it's not really that bizarre that you've become better at the piano. And that's similar to the way that consciousness develops, is that she talks about, she says, I was born angry. Whereas her sister, she says, was born really as a peaceful child. She feels like this helps her understand kind of the karmic imprints from past lives. Ultimately, all these arguments are based on the idea that the nature of the mind, its clarity and awareness, must have clarity and awareness as its substantial cause. It cannot have any other entity, such as an inanimate object, as its cause. This is self-evident. Through logical analysis, we infer that a new stream of clarity and awareness cannot come about without causes or from unrelated causes. While we observe that the mind cannot be produced in a laboratory, we also infer that nothing can eliminate the continuity of subtle clarity and awareness. As far as I know, no modern psychologist, physicist, or neurophysicist has been able to observe or predict the production of mind either from matter or without cause. So, yeah. We understand that, you know, the mind needs a brain, a body, but I think his point is that that's not the cause. The body is not the cause. So have I lost everybody? Or is this interesting? Okay, so I'm going to play this little clip of I think it's actually a podcast. So those of you who might have heard Robert Thurman, he is, first of all, most people know he's Uma Thurman's dad. But more importantly than that, he's a professor of Buddhist studies at Columbia, or was. I'm not sure if he still is. He's been to Raleigh, and Geshe-la knows him. He's a really wonderful guy and a fantastic teacher. So I'm just going to play this tiny clip of this podcast. It has visuals, so there's something to look at. But I found a bunch of other stuff on YouTube. Just type in Robert Thurman reincarnation or Robert Thurman death or anything. He's apparently got an hour podcast. But he talks, and one of the ones I didn't I'm not going to play it tonight, but he talks about the self, and he really goes into the difference between the relative self that we mistake as the absolute self, and that there is no absolute self, but that we get confused and mistaken by that. And it's really interesting. Maybe I'll try to show a clip of that next week. So let me see if I can share my screen and do this. No. Okay, maybe this. Can you see this little square, Linda? This is.
No, I see like notes.
Oh, like, you see the notes?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get rid of those. Let me try resharing. Oh, come on. Do you see this now? It says, what is Buddhist belief in past and future?
No, I see. It looks like your home screen. Like there's an elephant on it.
Yeah.
I wonder where the video is. Huh.
I see it. But, yeah, so elephants are my favorite animal.
Aww.
let's see. Oh, maybe I have to do that optimal sharing, like you told me. Share sound, optimize for video clip. All right, one more time, guys. Let's see. Now I have to put in a password, which I don't have.
Oh.
To share your computer audio, please install the Zoom audio device.
Huh. Maybe unclick that.
So I wonder if I could just send this to you.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. Try playing it now.
Okay.
And then you might also, yeah. Make this exactly.
Okay. Let me know if you can hear it, Linda.
Okay.
So one of the things about when you say believe in reincarnation, when we think of it as an entity like reincarnation, we think it's believing in a mystical, abstruse religious doctrine. The people here in Ladakh and actually many Hindus and Taoists and things as well as the Buddhists, to them, the rebirth issue, the fact that human life has this extent over many lives, or what I call the multi-life perspective, is like belief that the road from here to the Kalachakra thing is still there, you know, and we can drive on it, or the road to Sok is there. You know. It's a common sense belief. It isn't, it's a belief in a biological description. And then people more educated know. But of course, even that description, although it was considered by the Buddha the most useful one, is not an absolute description. There can be refinements in the description. You know, it's like Carl Sagan asked the Dalai Lama. Somebody has it on film. I've seen it a bunch of times. I wasn't there. He said, "Well, Your Holiness, if we organize a foolproof, fantastic experiment and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's no such thing as reincarnation, what would you say?" So let's see, for a minute, he says, "I stop believing in it." It's just a bunch of baloney. I don't think there is a flat, you know, thing is jaw drops, too. Here's this reincarnation thing. He'd stop believing in it if he could disprove it. There's two or three beats, you know, and then he looks to Sagan all enthusiastic and says, "Well, how are we going to set up that experiment?" He was flummoxed, you know, by that, you know. And what the scientists, they just dismiss it. They just say, forget it. There's no evidence for it. But there is evidence for it. There's a lot of evidence for it. And you can dismiss the evidence. Piece by piece, say it's fraudulent, that it's wrong, it's misinterpreted, or it's another way of understanding it. Sure, then they should carry on with that. But anyway, this is, for example, this is the entryway to a big, huge body of evidence, for example. Jim B. Tucker, M.D., is the successor of the famous Ian Stevenson, Ph.D., psychologist, who was funded by Chester Carlson 40, 50 years ago to investigate cases of memory of former lives around the world and deal with, look into the possible empirical validity of the sort of practice of reincarnation, and therefore the idea that our rebirth, as we would call it, if it's conscious and voluntary, and the fact of the continuum of consciousness and the big bugaboo of scientists that the mind exists, you know, that there or something exists that you call, that is called mind, you know, which some people say is non-material, but actually the Buddhists, some of the Buddhists say it's non-material. It's radically a dualistic Buddhist. There's dualistic Buddhist theories, but the most powerful and subtle Buddhist theory, Avalokiteshvara says that mind and matter ultimately are one thing, and what mind is super subtle level of energy, what consciousness is, and therefore that continuum or mind stream that goes through from death to rebirth in an unself-controlled being is a subtle energy. And so you can, so reductive to matter can, and as a hypothesis used in some context, can be helpful. But also matter to mind in some context can also be helpful, which the scientists. Dalai Lama doesn't like to say that much. It's in his book, actually. There's one few sentences that reveal that. But that book, Universe in a Single Atom, but he doesn't bring it up in conferences with materialist scientists much. He stresses me down when I do, because he doesn't want them to think triumphalistically that, oh yeah, it is, so finally it's all matter. You know, Buddhists agree with us. We're right. Because they would never agree that matter can be mind, actually. You know, down beneath the Higgs boson, and then they have that whole dark energy and dark matter, 90% of reality, which they don't know what it is. And they only find those subatomic particle things by secondary, tertiary phenomena that they then infer fitting into their model, which is just their theory. It's just a relational theory, and it's only a hypothesis. But he does mention it in a couple of places. Anyway, this one. These are extraordinary cases of children who remember past lives, and they have thousands of cases of this, which Ian Stevenson, before Jim Tucker, who took over that institute at University of Virginia, Charlottesville, he was chairman of the psychology department when he received that grant, and he had to fight his department, and then the department had to fight the board of trustees, even in the 50s, to accept the grant and to devote, and then eventually he retired as chairman of the department and he ran that institute. And it remains connected with the University of Virginia, but many of the majority materialists in the science department.
Okay. So that's just a little bit, but there are some, I really like the way that Robert Thurman teaches, so I would encourage you to check out some of his other talks, especially about the nature of the self. And, you know, for some of you that might be familiar when we talk about the two truths, ultimate truth and conventional truth. And if you start dabbling around in those ideas that you're getting into emptiness and karma and all of that, it's rich and deep. But you have to remember, again, the whole purpose is to make us better people. so that we remember kind of why we're here and what we're doing. So I'll end by telling you a story that, you know, because I can get really lost in some of these deep things about emptiness. I really love studying some of that, but it's not really, it helps. It's supposed to help in this way. So you've heard me talk about when I was caring for my mother, and at one point she was in a assisted living facility, and there were some people who were so nice to her there, these other residents. My mom was probably not in as good a shape as some of the others, and so they at their table, they were really helping her, and I was telling the nurse, I said, wow, you know, they're so kind to her. And she said, you know, Stephanie, the people who know why they're here, in the facility, she goes, they turn around and help other people. And I had to like pinch myself. I felt like I was getting a little Dharma lesson, because I felt like that's the same thing. for those of us who realize why we're here, you know, we're not completely enlightened. We have a ways to go on the path. Just like the people in the facility who realized they couldn't really function at home alone. That's why all of them are there. My mother didn't understand why she was there, but the people who did turned around and helped her. And so same thing for us, you know, for those of us who realize why we're on planet Earth and why, you know, we have a ways to go. Hopefully remember to turn around and help others. That's the whole point. So the whole point behind all of that. And then everything else we're learning is ways to empower ourselves on that path. That's what it's all about. You know, if something doesn't make sense, just set it aside and go with the things that do make sense. You're the one who knows yourself inside out and what will work better for you now, what will work better for your circumstances. So I hope that's helpful and not more confusing. Feel free, you know, again, like send me questions that I can try to cover. Oh, there's 10 new messages? Is that true?
Most of them, Steve, are asking, like, for Robert Thurman's name and
stuff
like that.
Oh, yes. He was talking about Carl Sagan. That was a picture of Carl Sagan. Yeah, some of the audio was hard to hear. He talked about the book Universe in an Atom that His Holiness wrote. I haven't read that, but I think, you know, His Holiness talks a lot, has a mind science institute once a year. So he meets with lots of different scientists and talks about a variety of these things. And some of you who might find that really interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just making sure I got everything. Yeah, so, you know, you'll find lots of stuff on reincarnation. Just be careful who you listen to and read. Robert Thurman, you know, he knows a whole lot. He's a really entertaining teacher. There's a lot of stuff that you could see. If you find something of particular interest you want to share, then, you know, let me know. We can see if we can have part of that next week. Next week is our last week. What we will try to do a bit of the depth solution meditation perhaps at the end. So if you don't want to join with that, that's totally fine. If there's something that you particularly want to cover, let me know now or put in the chat.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was watching a short video and the name of it was what is the real purpose of meditation? And they went into meditation is great. Your practices are great. But if you're not doing the death meditation, then you're kind of missing out. So it was, they said that they went into actually dissolving the body and melting the body, having different ways that the body, you could die. So you could, and they would even meditate on what it would feel like to have a coffin close on you. And so I was wondering, that type of meditation, I think, would be beneficial for me to stop procrastinating and get all my things in order for my family so that they don't have to suffer and do things that I could have done for them before I die.
So we'll let you and Linda meditate on the coffin closing on top of you. I think I'm going to skip that one. that if that works for you, this is what I'm saying, like, then definitely do something like that. The death dissolution, were you here when we did the death dissolution meditation?
Yes, I've been fortunate enough to take it a couple of different times.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I have a good grasp on it, but I'm familiar with it. So when I read it, I'm not confused.
Right. Okay. And, you know, it's written in the material that you all have. You all have that. So you can, you know, read it out loud and practice that. The reason for the death dissolution one, you are experiencing the different parts of your body dissolving into the other parts and the elements dissolving. And so the eye organ failing and the hear, you know, you're experiencing all of those. you know, so the death dissolution, you wouldn't actually experience the coffin. If that helps you kind of like, oh yeah, that's what's coming in my life, great. Mm-hmm. Other people might find that too freaky, you know. So the point of the death dissolution is to be familiar with the actual stages that you're going to go through, so that you go through them as calmly as possible and you're not confused by them. You're like, okay, this is what's happening now. And, you know, my limbs aren't, and, you know, if you're not aware of it, it may feel like a you know, kind of nightmarish, like you're falling. And then you realize, oh, no, this is what's happening.
I'm going to record the meditation that you did. And I know that Don and Robbie both have done the death presentation for Discovering Buddhism, and they all have their own little different meditations, and I found it helpful to pull it up, record it on like my phone, and then I can play it, and it helps me to memorize it better. I have a set, it helps me anyway to memorize stuff, not that I have it memorized, but I find that the recordings are very beneficial for any meditation.
Right. And so, you know, the material that you have on the Discovering Buddhism, you could record yourself saying it, you know, and you can memorize some of the steps and the signs, you know, the internal and external sign, so that it's easy to do. Even as you're falling asleep, Geshe-Len recommended that I do that meditation. I was falling asleep, and I told him, yeah, but I end up falling asleep. Well, that's better than dying. But he was saying, like, it's okay. It's okay to fall asleep in the middle of that death meditation. He said, that's fine. But it helps you kind of, kind of really feel some of those things dissolving into each stage. Okay, so anything that you want to make sure we cover next week? And again, feel free to email me if you can't think of anything now. But we will probably play another little video about reincarnation and definitely end with the death dissolution meditation. But if there's anything in particular that you want to make sure that we touch on, it's an intense topic sometimes, you know, but when I was talking to Geshe-la about how hard it is, this topic is not easy to teach. And he was saying, yeah, it's difficult, and especially in the West, because he said there's so much emphasis on distracting you from thinking of death. And, we hide it so well. We're not like, you know, my mother's generation, when somebody died, they were laid out in their living room for a day or two, you know, so it wasn't as hidden from us. So he said, it's hard. It's hard anyway, and it's harder here. So ways to kind of look at it that don't freak us out is a good thing. It's a good thing. Seems like there was something else I was going to say, but we're going to dedicate our merit that we've created through coming together on a Monday night, talking to each other in the breakout rooms, setting our intention. Even just coming together and setting your intention was, you know, a very powerful act. So take a minute to contemplate the merit that you created by your patience, your interest, your thoughts on this topic, participating in the group, sending everybody your best wishes. And imagine that this powerful merit will create the cause for your enlightenment. This merit, joined with the merits of all that you've created before, will become part of the cause, the substantial cause for your complete enlightenment. And Linda, if you have Shanti Deva's prayer, then we can read that as a final dedication.
Yes, sorry. Let me just find what I did with it.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind,
obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Thank you. Linda, is the stupa thing this Saturday or Sunday?
I think it is on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Steve, I read it. It's going to be Saturday, and it's 10 a.m., not 11. It's 10 a.m. this week, so looking forward to that. Thank you for this class, too, Steve and Linda.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. You all are amazing. I think you rock. And, you know, if we had different conditions, we would be meeting at the stupa next Monday as well. but we would lose our YouTube folks. So we'll meet here again and then plan for the future. So thank you all for your time and attention. And I'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Nice to see everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
See you, everyone. See you next week.
Yes, definitely. Bye-bye.